You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Following Elon Musk's recent acquisition of the Twitter social media platform, we read disturbing reports that the accessibility team, along with several other teams at Twitter, had been disbanded, with employees being laid off. There were further reports that some staff had been rehired. Well, amidst all the chaos, I felt that it was important that we as a blind community reflect on accessibility of social media and accessibility of technology more generally. Callum Stoneman, you're a Twitter user. What did you think when you heard that the accessibility team had been laid off?
I was quite surprised by it because, yeah, I do use Twitter and I do find it a pretty accessible platform. And with the Elon Musk acquisition, I think we've always had this sort of, we don't really know what's coming next, you know, since this acquisition. So I was quite surprised by it, but also I think we've known for a while that accessibility can be, it's often not, I mean, I can't speak to, you know, Twitter specifically, but it's often not at the top of the priority list, as we know all too well. So, I mean, what it suggests to me is that he's kind of saying, well, this is a low priority, you know, do we really need a team for this, is what it says to me. But obviously we don't know that. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But it's quite surprising, isn't it, for a huge company like Twitter to just, what seems to kind of happened is that they've gone, yeah, you know, we don't need the accessibility team. It's fine.
Callum, can you explain for people who don't use social media, what, when we talk about accessibility in this context, what sorts of features are we actually talking about? And what is the difference that those features make for your day-to-day usage?
Well, we're talking about day-to-day usage in general. So we're talking about the accessibility of the app, making sure that you can interact with the platform, making sure that you can read tweets, you can view the attachments. So if there's a link in a tweet, for example, you can easily get to that link and access it. Obviously, the accessibility from then on depends on where the link goes to, but at least if you can get to the link. And, you know, we're talking about screen reader users in our case, you know, with blind and partially sighted people. So screen reader users, magnification users, but then also accessibility more widely as well. So Twitter's accessibility team are responsible for things like the alt text feature that we've covered on Tech Talk before, where you can add descriptions to images. They've also been responsible for things like closed captions on videos and on the Twitter spaces as well, which benefits, you know, users who are hard of hearing. So there's all sorts behind it that this team are responsible for. You know, it's incredible work that they've done to make sure that everyone can use the platform and make the most of it.
Tasneem Arshad, you've been following this story. What's your take? Some of these accessibility features were pretty hard won, weren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it's taken a really long time to get to where we have done in accessibility and social media. And, you know, I'm really concerned about the message that this is given globally to other organizations. And I hope that other organizations don't follow suit, because similarly to Callum, I totally agree that it's sending out that kind of message of, well, actually, accessibility isn't important. And by major organizations, really large organizations, having accessibility teams, for example, Microsoft have got their own accessibility desk, it really highlights how important accessibility is for blind and partially sighted people and people with disabilities. It really keeps it in the forefront and focus in people's minds. But actually not having a department and not having any person monitoring this on a regular basis and any sort of feedback from users, you know, where's all of that going to go and what's going to happen? Because we want to be able to maintain the level of accessibility that we currently have. So it's a really unknown, uncertain times.
Yeah, and this is a pretty fast moving story. Things are changing daily, but I would like to hear other big organizations coming along and reaffirming their commitment to accessibility. That would be a really positive message. How about you, Callum? What have you heard in terms of response to this?
I haven't seen much response from organizations. I've seen responses, obviously, from the disabled community. And those responses are interesting as well, because there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, if Twitter don't care about us, if they don't care about the, you know, users with additional needs, then why are we staying on the platform? You know, there's a lot of people saying they're now going to leave Twitter because of this and because of all the uncertainty. But I don't know what the answer is of how we advocate and how we make our voices heard at a time like this, because I don't think leaving, I totally get the reasons why people are leaving, but I just don't think that solves the problem. I mean, if you've got, say, you know, 100,000 followers on Twitter, and you're someone who's raising awareness about accessibility and things like that, and then because of this news, you leave, I don't think Elon Musk is really going to be too concerned, and you've lost a good chunk of, you know, some people will move over to other platforms with you, and you might have some people on Facebook or Instagram and other platforms, but you've still lost a good chunk of your following there. So I think it kind of can make the problem worse.
Are people leaving? Have you seen much evidence of that?
Not particularly evidence, but I have seen some people saying they will or saying they're considering it.
Tasneem Arshad, would you stop using a product for ethical reasons if you heard that the company had done something that you didn't get along with?
I'm not sure is the honest answer for that. It really just depends on the context and how strongly I felt about it. I guess it's about people feeling empowered that they can take some level of action. And I guess it all depends on how strongly you feel about it. And it gives you some level of control back if you're able to fight back. But I kind of agree with Callum. I'm not sure if that's the right way or the right approach. I think I always feel that talking, obviously my background is psychology, so clearly, you know, talking is always a good way forward and communicating. So I'm a real advocate of that. And I think there's got to be some way of having a two-way communication, a discussion or something where we can take this forward.
We have come, as you said, Tasneem, such a long way in terms of accessible technology. Lots more to do, of course. This doesn't feel like the most positive moment. I remember, you know, in the early 90s when Windows first came along and people said blind people will never be able to use Windows. And of course, most of us do now, you know, every day. Touchscreens, it was the same story, wasn't it? When touchscreens first came along, we all sort of held our hands up in horror and going, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to use a touchscreen? So lots of steps forward, maybe a couple of steps back. Well, definitely one to watch. And we're very interested to hear your thoughts here at RNIB Connect Radio. And if you'd like to contact Tech Talk, you can do that in the usual way. Send us an email or a voice note to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum, Tasneem, thanks very much.